This music is inspirational, isn't it?
It is inspirational, and it's also very seductive.
Is that what you want for the stream?
It's not what I want. It's what the stream wants. All we can do is react to what the stream wants, Wendy. You can't control the stream. The stream controls you. You understand that, right?
What the stream wants.
The stream gets. Wendy, you made a declaration just a moment ago that has scared me.
I cannot work.
This is your last
studio
show. You're done
anymore.
After today. This is it.
You are the witness to this. You know, you sit at a desk that you share with other people,
right?
And you stick your hand under the desk,
yes,
to pull your chair in a little closer.
Yep.
And there's some kind of gloppy gloop. That's
there is. There's gloppy gloop underneath the desk.
It was right on my hand.
But I wouldn't have. Put my hands under there. That was very brave.
I would
use my feet as a way of propelling myself toward or away from the desk. I would never put my hands under there.
I wouldn't do that like at a school because I know kids stick gum under there. Sometimes in a church pew. Gosh, does that get me mad?
Yeah.
That's so disrespectful. This isn't gum, but it's some kind of...
It's some foreign substance, some space-age polymer formula that doesn't exist in parts of the world. I don't know what it is.
Technori must have left it, if it's that.
Who?
Technori. You know, they're like a WGM Plus, but they talk tech and stuff.
Yeah, it's like tech talk.
All right, well, it's gross. Then I go to wash my hands in the little bathroom in here, and there's some gloppy gloop that's keeping the drain from going down.
Kind.
Yeah, it's gray. This was brown under the desk.
Mm-hmm.
There are greasy fingerprints all over. This is a gorgeous studio.
Yeah, it's been abused. I don't know why. I wouldn't touch anything in here. I don't touch anything. I have Kevin open and close the door for me.
How do you turn your mic button on with your elbow?
I don't do it.
Oh.
If it's on, I talk. If it's not, I don't. I mean, close and play.
I'm the human
close and play.
When you share a work office with someone,
be respectful.
And if you spill something,
right,
clean it. It's just gross.
But you know, your average radio person, not you and me, but your average radio person is just, they've got no rules.
Not
they just
at WGN Radio.
I don't know.
Back when we worked at other stations, I could see.
But you've seen guys like pour stuff on the board accidentally. Like some guy will be drinking Mr. Pibb and he'll just spill it and he'll just leave it.
I'd spilled something once when I worked at the Loop radio station. I was doing overnights when I just started and I spilled a Coke and it fell into the board.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a Sunday overnight and I called the engineer and woke him up.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
But that's a good, I mean, it wasn't good for the engineer.
No, but I just said, I just wanted to tell you it's in pot number 14. I just wanted you to know I cleaned up as best I could. And he said, thanks for telling me. I just feel like to be honest is the best way to do it.
It's the best policy.
Because otherwise the pot can go out while you're talking on a microphone and
right.
then they find out years later that there's this petrified Coca-Cola product in there.
Who wants that? So you said, this is it. This is my last show. I'm not coming in anymore. If they're not going to fix this, I'm out. This is your last show.
Clean it.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to. It's not in their budget.
How dirty is your area?
Sparkling clean. You could eat Totino's pizza rolls off of it.
I think someone ate Totino's pizza rolls off of this. It's just, I'm sorry, I'm a tiny bit of a germ freak. And like,
but that's
just,
why I'm surprised you would reach underneath, because who knows what's under there?
I would trust people. It's, I gotta
look. Don't look. You don't want to see what's under there, Wendy. Believe me.
Ew.
You see what I mean? Those are colors you can't even describe.
It's just not
things
right.
Things that are kind of sticky, but have like a... It's like saltwater taffy from years ago. I don't know what's under there. Don't go under there.
That's what everybody brings back, by the way, when they go to Florida.
Saltwater taffy.
Do you like it? I love it.
I do like it.
It is amazing.
Right.
Can't you just get it here in Chicago?
Yeah. Saltwater taffy sold everywhere. Yeah.
Really? I've never seen it anywhere.
But it is
I'll
a vacation bring back thing. Now, when my grandmother used to go to Florida, we would get one of two things. We would either get a crate of orange gumballs that looked like oranges.
Oh, yeah.
That was fun.
They were fun. Yeah, I got those too from my aunt.
Orange flavored, orange colored. They taste like, they look like oranges. It's a miracle. And then the other thing was a petrified alligator that was holding an umbrella and had a tank top on.
I never got that.
Yeah, we'd get that. My grandmother would alternate. One year we'd get the orange gumballs, and then the next year the alligator holding the umbrella with a shirt that says something like Florida's the best or something like that. It was great. And then we had them on display. My brother and I had like five or six of them on display. I mean, it looked almost
a little tacky.
Like, remember Norman Bates's office where he had all the petrified animals? It kind of had that look. But, you know, you're not going to look a gift horse in the mouth. It was
no,
a great gift.
But I could see her doing the repeat on the little gumballs because they will disappear.
Right.
But with getting the same statuette every time seems...
I think she forgot that she had gotten us one every other year.
You didn't get a bottle opener shaped like a flip-flop?
No, that would have been great. I didn't even know that was an option back then. Oh, that would have been so great. But that's like, you know... I don't know if you go through this with your kids, but when you go away on a trip, you feel the need to sometimes get gifts for your family members or friends. But then you realize, boy, I can't get them anything great, you know?
No, because you don't want to spend a lot.
Yeah.
And I've always been on vacation with my kids.
They're there, so you don't need to get them anything.
No. I mean, they pick it out.
I almost got Kevin a gift in New York last week. I came very close to getting Kevin a gift. They have in New York, and they might have it here, too. I've just never noticed it. But they have stores that only sell designer socks. That's all they have.
Oh, he loves those.
And Kevin loves those.
I'm a fan of the socks.
And I went in. I saw it in the window. I go, Kevin would love these. And then the pair that I thought I would get him were, it was one sock was Batman and one was Robin.
That's pretty cool.
But they were $64.
What?
And they wouldn't sell me just one. I go, can I just get Robin? And they go, no, you got to buy Batman and Robin. I'm like, that's a lot of money, $64 there.
You have my parents beat. Anytime they go anywhere, they feel the need to buy me some sort of souvenir with, like, my name on it.
No, oh, yeah.
So it'd be like in, you know, Sanibel Island, Kevin's Bar.
Oh, yeah.
Kevin's Irish.
I got you don't need it? A knife.
That's okay, and that sits on display in my Kevin. Office. But this is like a T-shirt that they expect me to wear. I'm not ever going to wear that.
Now, for a long time, it was customary, if you went away, you would get the person you were buying for a license plate that had their name on
right.
it. Like it's only a quarter the size of a real license plate, and it has, like if it's Florida, it has a palm tree
right.
and a coconut on it.
And you could put it on your bike or just hang it on your bulletin board in your room.
And it had your name. But here's what's happened since then. Everyone's gotten very creative with names. Either you spell your name strangely or your
you
name is Northwest.
You should stop spelling it B-Y-L-L.
What should I go with?
Use the traditional way.
Yeah. I don't know. I want to be different.
But you never had a problem with your name being up there, right, Bill?
You could always find a Bill license plate. I imagine Wendy was a challenge.
Surprisingly, as I was getting older, Wendy was... honestly on there, but you're right with the new names.
Right.
Your daughters.
I've never seen one that has either Kylie's name or Reese's name, which is a shame because they're not allowed to ride a bike without a license plate, so they've never ridden a bike, ever. It's too bad for them. I gave them crazy names. Oh, you know what I wanted to do? And this, tell me if you don't think this is crazy. This morning, as I'm going through stories for the show, I find this thing on MSN that I say, this couldn't be more perfect for what you and I do, which is just talk about nothing in particular and make dolphin noises. I go, here's something that would be great for the show. Psychologists have developed a quiz to define what type of sense of humor you have. So it's a series of questions, and based on your answers, scientists can put together a profile of exactly, A, do you have a sense of humor? B, how well defined is it? C, what sorts of things make you laugh and what don't? And I go, well, here's what I'll do is I'll ask Wendy a bunch of these questions, right?
Did you take the quiz to figure it out yourself?
No, and here's why. This is the most alarming part of the story. Nowhere in the story does it give you any part of the quiz. It doesn't give you any. It just says that this quiz exists. I don't know if you have to be a psychologist or have to know one, but I read this thing top to bottom. And even though they talk about it and the importance of it, they should at least give a couple of sample questions, if not the entire quiz, don't you think?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be bad?
Are you sure you printed it correctly?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. But now here's what I thought of that we can discuss to show these psychologists who's who. I thought to myself, I bet most people have a barometer by which, like if you meet somebody at a party or you're sitting next to somebody at a wedding or something, don't you have like a go-to thing that you go, here's something that I think is funny. Maybe it's a joke. Maybe it's a book. Maybe it's a movie or a TV show. And if this person also thinks that thing is funny, we can talk about almost that. We'll have the same sense of humor. But if I do and they don't, uh-oh, we're in trouble.
Well, I don't think it's as black and white as that, because there are things that I love that you don't, mm-hmm. and vice versa. Mm-hmm. But yet on the majority of things, I think we could talk about no problem.
Without a doubt. But isn't there, don't you have like one fail-safe thing that you go, boy, I think this is, because we're talking about humor, I think this is like the funniest thing in the world. And if I say to that, like if somebody said to me, you know, I don't like Kevin Hart. If somebody said to me, there is no one on this planet funnier than Kevin Hart. That guy is the funniest thing that's ever been. Is that Kevin? I would go, oh, this is going to be a long hour. I don't see eye to eye with this person on that at all.
Yeah, but the weird thing is the majority of the people think that way about Kevin Hart.
I could respect somebody who thought he was funny, but if somebody said, that is hands down the funniest guy on the planet, funniest guy of all time, then I'd go, oh, no. What is this going
to
be like?
What has Kevin Hart ever done to you where you run his...
I feel bad for always using him as an example now.
And I will tell you the truth. Like, I saw him on SNL, and I've seen him on a couple of things.
Right.
And I look at him, and it's like, I certainly don't love him. I don't even think he's that great, but he doesn't bother me that much. And then I always, whenever I see him, I think of you, because it's like, what has he done to you? Why is he so bad?
And you know what? In all honesty, he's not the... There are guys way worse
Name
than Kevin Hart. Dane Cook is way worse than Kevin Hart.
See, I got to tell you, Dane Cook, I think, is funny. Although I haven't seen anything in it forever. When he first came out, I thought, Dane Cook made me laugh. It's not like I think he's great, and I certainly have not gone out of my way to see a Dane Cook movie or anything.
Right.
But what little times I've seen him, I thought he was kind of funny.
All right. Can I tell you what my barometer is?
Like, Dane Cook and Kevin Hart.
No. Like, there is a movie, and I'll tell you what the movie is in a minute, but if I'm meeting somebody and this movie comes up and they say, what a piece of junk that movie is, who would like that movie? I know that even though we may have other things in common, just the fact that this particular movie disturbs them and I love... And it's a comedy, obviously. I'll tell you what it
is. I'm dying to know what it
is. Napoleon Dynamite.
I love that movie more than anything.
I saw that movie when it came out, I saw it with some friends one day, and I came home and I was telling my family about it, and I go, why am I telling you about it? We're going to go. And then the next day we went and saw it a second time. So it's one of those movies that I know it's not for everybody. I know some people are going to watch Napoleon Dynamite and go, what? I don't understand this.
Oh, I love
it. But that's the perfect example of what I mean. It's like a deciding factor of, do we have the same sense of humor or do we not have the same sense of humor?
I don't think you can base it on one movie.
It'd be better to base it on a... Right. It'd be better to have 5 or 10.
If you go to a wedding, and I sat with you at Kevin's wedding, so I know you didn't do this, but at weddings that you go to with your wife, do you bring like a little loose leaf binder and start asking people, what do you think of this movie?
Yes.
So you can decide who at the table you will talk to?
We have left tables if 3 or 4 questions in. Like I'll go, which of the Hudson brothers do you think was most talented? And if they don't say Brett, I'm elsewhere.
I would ask who the cutest one was, and I'd say Mark.
Mark is probably the cutest. Brett's the funniest. Bill, the most musically talented. But yeah, you got to have that at ready.
But I just don't think you can base on whether or not you're going to comedically click with someone based on one thing. Because you don't like the Three Stooges.
No,
I do.
No. But again, to use the wedding analogy, if you were, let's say you're sitting next to a stranger at a wedding, and all of a sudden they say, and now it's time for everyone to discuss the work of the Three Stooges. You'd go,
God, I'm never going to a wedding. I'm never going to the people you know getting married.
I don't know why that would happen at a wedding.
Maybe it's a Three Stooges themed wedding.
Right. You're right. I had to talk Kevin out of this. Kevin and Sarah were going to do a Three Stooges themed wedding, and then they were fighting over whether it should be Shemp or Curly Joe. And I'm like, well, don't
Curly
fight
Joe,
over that.
No.
It's not that's ridiculous. But yeah, it's a Three Stooges themed wedding, and they say, for the next hour, we're going to discuss the work of the Three Stooges. And then I'd go, oh.
You'd leave, wouldn't you?
I'm going to leave.
Okay, first of all, no one's ever going to do that as long as you live.
I hope not.
And what's wrong with going, because I know a lot of people say a lot of women don't like the Three Stooges.
The Three Stooges were made more for men. There are plenty of women who enjoy them, but deep down, it's a man's very, Neanderthal sense of humor that the Three Stooges appealed to.
Why I oughta. I just, they, you know what it was? My dad used to watch them and I would watch them with him, and I was exposed to them that way. He laughed, I laughed. I don't seek them out.
Right. But if they're on, you'll enjoy
them.
Oh,
yeah, I will.
But see, for me, whenever the Three Stooges was on, I'd say to myself, I can't imagine my dad and two of his friends ever having a similar relationship.
They're brothers, to where they aren't would they? Just
two of them were. Mo and Curly were brothers, but Larry was their friend. But although on their
some friend
in their movie, I know if a friend is a guy who keeps
pick two
taking his index finger, his middle finger, and hitting you in the eye, well, that's quite a friendship. But I'd always say to myself, I can't imagine my dad and two of his buddies just doing this to each other. That my dad would lay down on the ground and go whoop 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 and spin in a circle. That would never happen. I know you got to suspend belief, but I couldn't do it with them for some reason.
No.
I know it's fake. Yeah, it's fake for the most part. But it was just such a jolt to me that three grown men. And normally, like I've, you know,
like the Little Rascals, didn't you?
Love the Little Rascals.
It's just Little Rascals grown up.
But at some point, their moms should have said, "Guys, grow up! You can't behave like this anymore." It's wrong.
All right, I don't have the number here. 312.
Just call 312.
No,
we'll pick it up eventually. 235-2525. But don't you have, isn't there like just one movie, book, TV show, song, recipe, pamphlet that you say to yourself, I think this is so funny, and if I'm forced to be with somebody for the first time that I've never met before, if they don't think it's funny, we don't stand a chance.
Really think about the big picture. Like, I don't sit there and think, how many people at this table am I going to get along with?
Right.
I would think if I bring up the Three Stooges and someone goes, oh, I'm not a big fan, I'm like, oh, well, what do you like?
Right. That's the way to be.
Sit there with my arms folded going, harumph. I'm not going to last a minute at this place.
That's also the way I would be, but for the sake of this psychology-based quiz...
We never got to. Can we do it after the news?
There's nothing to do. They don't list any of the questions.
Well, where'd you find this?
On MSN.
Go to BuzzFeed. They have...
No, that's an old one on BuzzFeed. I that's where I went. They've got one from 2 years ago.
I haven't heard
it. It still
holds
up. All right, it still holds up. We'll do that.
We're not topical.
No.
Or time-sensitive.
How about this Watergate thing? Is that crazy? Man.
You'll have more on that,
Judy's
Judy.
Got the full Watergate scoop in today's news.
Oh, people are in big trouble.
Yep.
All right, we have to take a break, and then we'll come back, and Judy Pylak will join us and give us some news.
Real quick, before we do this, sorry to interrupt. Napoleon Dynamite, hysterical or awful?
I never saw it.
Oh, all right.
Sorry.
All right.
Bill's not talking to you for the rest of the day.
See?
I rescind our friendship.
I hear it's hysterical. I hear
it. It is.
But
certain
people may not think it's that funny.
I know some people who are very close to me who go, that's the worst movie of all time.
You might hate me, but that's not even a movie I would watch.
You wouldn't watch it? No.
Yeah. Right. I might watch it by happenstance. I would never.
You wouldn't go out of your way.
Right.
Are you going to talk to her the rest of the day?
Should I watch it?
If you tell me to watch
it's really funny. I would to hear her opinion of it. Because you either...
Wait, I think the guy I love is in it too, right? Odette Fair?
No.
Oh, all right.
Nope.
Never mind.
I don't know what she has said.
His name is Odette Fair.
No, he's not in this.
Oh, okay.
No.
He's one of those.
Crazy name.
Yeah.
Odette.
He's hot.
Yeah.
I gotta look
him
up.
He's a hot Israeli.
No, to my knowledge, I've seen it five times around. There's not
weird,
a single hot Israeli in all of Napoleon Dynamite. It's Bill and Wendy. Watergate news coming up in just a little bit. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Thanks, Jude.
Judy, thank you so much. It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder. We're on the stream. You are, too. We're all on the stream.
We were talking about, Bill found a quiz. What judges what's funny? And if your movie, your go-to movie is if you don't find Napoleon... Dynamite funny.
Then I will bite you.
He was very funny.
Napoleon Dynamite. Bonaparte was also funny. Yes. Yes.
Great character.
I have found the quiz, Wendy. I did a little research and I found it.
You did 10 seconds of research and found
it. Still counts as research.
Good for you.
I will ask you some of these questions. Please answer honestly. We will determine the type of sense of humor that you have based on this. It was developed by psychologists. Are you ready?
4 out of 5 psychologists surveyed.
Dentine.
Now, that's funny.
That is funny. All right. You win, it says. You have a great sense of humor based on that. I don't know if we'll get to all these questions. There's 311.
Well, we can stay later.
All right. I usually don't laugh or joke around much with other people. Do you strongly disagree with that statement? Strongly disagree, a 1, or strongly agree, a 5, or neutral is a 3, anywhere between 1 and 5. I usually don't laugh or joke around much with other people.
I strongly disagree.
Because you like to laugh and joke around with other people. All right. If I am feeling depressed, I can usually cheer myself up with humor.
It depends how depressed you are.
Not me, you.
No, it depends how depressed I am, then.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I guess you can let it escape your mind for a little while, but if it's something you're really upset about, I'm not going to, you know, go watch a movie and it's going to make me laugh when I just lost my goldfish or whatever.
Right, right. Oh, the other questions are all about goldfish. It's funny that you mentioned that. So you strongly disagree, strongly agree, or somewhere in the middle, neutral?
Somewhere in the middle, neutral.
Neutral, I'll give you a 3. If someone makes a mistake, I will often tease them about it.
Only if it's Bill.
Yeah, that's true. I wish you were kidding, but that part's true. Strongly disagree, strongly agree, or in the middle?
I disagree. I don't make fun of people.
If someone makes a mistake, I will often tease them about it.
I strongly disagree. One. I do not tease people.
All right.
Except for you.
We've got this on tape. Well, okay. You threw in the disclaimer. I let people laugh at me or make fun at my own expense more than I should. Strongly disagree.
Strongly agree.
Strongly agree. A 5.
I work with you, so.
Yeah. I know. I don't have to work very hard at making other people laugh. I seem to be a naturally humorous person. Strongly agree, strongly disagree, or in the middle? And again, when I say in the middle, you can choose 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5.
I strongly agree. I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but I like to make people laugh, and I think I can.
Mm-hmm. True.
If it doesn't work, I'll make a funny face or take my shirt off.
You don't see me laughing, do you, Wendy? That was insane.
Shut up. You're a cold woman.
Even when I'm by myself, I'm often amused by the absurdities of life.
I strongly agree.
How many times have you said to me, isn't life absurd?
I've said
it
a lot.
And you've chuckled. So you strongly agree.
I strongly agree. Because isn't that part of
without a doubt. Of just
life?
Noticing everything around you. Yeah, sure. People are never offended. Never with an N. People are never offended or hurt by my sense of humor.
Occasionally, maybe.
Occasionally.
So what would that be?
That would be kind of neutrally disagree, so probably a 2.
All right.
Right? All right.
I don't mean to offend, but
sometimes
I do.
It's going to happen. Because you say over a dozen things a day, somebody's going to take one or two the wrong way, right? I will often get carried away in putting myself down if it makes my friends or family laugh. Self-deprecating, are you?
Yeah, but I don't, like, I have other go-to things.
Like the dolphin noise.
Oh, no, that's stupid.
Well, go ahead, make it, please. I haven't heard in a long time.
See? That made Judy laugh, so I'm going to give you a point.
Self-deprecating is good, but if that's all you do, it's not funny anymore.
Right. You don't always make fun of yourself.
So I strongly disagree.
Right. Strongly disagree.
I'm willing to do it, but I...
It's not your go-to.
No.
Right? You get a 1 on that one. I rarely make other people laugh by telling funny stories about myself.
Strongly disagree.
Strongly disappoint. You do it every day.
I try to.
You tell a funny story and we all chuckle.
Sometimes inside where it counts.
Right. Often inside.
Okay,
because we don't
want
to give you a big head.
Yeah.
I strongly agree.
Judy gets a point. All right. If I am feeling upset or unhappy, I usually try to think of something funny about the situation to make myself feel better. Do you strongly agree or strongly disagree? Or in the
strongly middle? Disagree. If I'm upset about something, I'm going to have a good cry and then move on.
Right. Yeah. All right.
What'd you give me a perplexed look?
Because I'd be somewhere in the middle on this one, depending on the situation. There'd be times where I'd go, this is a time I need to remain upset, or else I'd go, enough being upset. Let's all have a laugh at the absurdities of life.
Could you read it again?
If I'm feeling upset or unhappy, I usually try to think of something funny about the situation to make myself feel better. You said strongly disagree.
Well, ultimately I will, but at the moment, I'm not thinking of anything funny. I'm thinking, poor me.
Yes.
Seriously. So
are you sure? In the middle?
Yeah. Because Why? I know you were Miss Positivity yesterday.
No, but I just, this made reminded me of when, I swear to God, when the doctor said to me, you have breast cancer. Do you know what I said?
What?
Oh, my God. I just did the Avon walk. I must have caught it there.
Oh man.
Now, he ran around the desk to me and said, oh, my God, you don't really believe that. And I was like, listen, dude, are you going to have a knife on you when you? Of course I don't.
It was
my
funny.
First reaction. It really, no one laughed but me.
But that
was your way of processing it.
So that's why it's. I thought, because my answer would have been the same as yours, Wendy, except I remembered that. I'm like, oh, my God, in one of the worst, that could have been the worst moment of my life, I made a joke.
See, I don't know. Good for you, because I respect that. But I don't I think if it was something huge, the joke would come later after I've processed it.
But isn't it up to because obviously this was one of the darkest moments of your life, and sometimes the best way to deal with a moment like that is with humor. And
Diffuse it with humor.
I do that a lot. I like, you guys think I'm funny, so I realize that I use humor a lot that way, even when it's not really that appropriate, but to me, it's my first go-to.
Yeah, yeah.
So for that question about does she offend anyone, she would say strongly agree.
Judy would say strongly agree, yes. Yes.
All right.
I think that's great you did it, but if it's something I'm upset about, I can't see the humor in it right away. I can't. I gotta digest it first, and then
see. And I would think just the opposite of you. But obviously, you know yourself. But I would think you're a person who would do that, and you especially. But,
yeah.
But you know yourself the best.
Yeah,
right?
I don't think I.
Or do you, Wendy? Do you really know yourself?
Do you want me to lay on the couch?
Well, Bill will tell you in just a moment who you really are.
Can I tell you my moment like that? When my mom died, my brother, we were all given word that it looked like we were down to the last hour or so. So we all raced to the hospital, and my dad was already there. I got there in time. My brother missed it by a couple of minutes. Through our whole life, whenever anything happened with my mom or my dad, my brother and I had this thing that a lot of siblings have where, like on a card, like if it was one of our birthdays and my mom wrote a card, my brother would say, what's it say on the card? And I'd go, it says, happy birthday. I love you more than I love you, Adam. You know, that kind of thing, back and forth, right? So when my brother didn't get there in time, he came into the most emotional scene of my dad crying and me crying, and there was other people there crying. And he felt so bad, not just that she died, but that she missed it. And my brother said, what did she say at the end? And I said, she just looked at me and said, I love you more than Adam. And then she died. And we all just looked at each other and started to laugh at like the hardest moment of our life. We were all laughing. So sometimes,
that
even though
works.
It seems inappropriate.
And you knew it would work.
Yeah.
You knew it wouldn't. Yeah. That's
you did. And Adam needed to forgive himself, too. So that was the perfect thing to say.
Yeah. It worked for that. But like on paper, you go, hey, I think when my mom dies, I'll say this. This will get a huge laugh. You can't do that. The same with what you said when you found out about your cancer.
And I knew my doctor. We were friendly, you know, and I think that's
but
why
it
I
jolted
did it
him,
too.
Didn't it?
A little bit. I mean, for him to say that, you don't really believe that.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, no, I don't, but I don't know what else to say. Thank
right.
you. Well, thanks for telling me.
Right.
Maybe I haven't had such horrible news, but I think I need a minute to digest it, and then I can be funny about it. But at the moment, I come across a little rough, but I have a marshmallow center.
Literally.
But I mean, even something
I know
not,
I should work out
even
more.
Something not as you know as heavy as that. I just any kind of little bad news. My first reaction is
joke
to
around
make a
little
joke.
Bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
I make it worse than it is, so I'm. Oh. I can't joke right away. I gotta process it.
A little bit of time first.
I got to.
Yeah.
You don't seem that serious to me. That's crazy. You seem like a real jokester, Wendy. But now you're looking at me really serious.
You know, I used to be.
I'm reassessing.
Putting a hole for you, Wendy.
I honestly did. I used to be. I mean, I would take my job seriously, but I would goof around a lot. Ever since I have two teenage boys at home and a husband who's the third teenager. I don't have fun anymore.
Oh no! Don't say that. That's not true.
And I don't want. I think I might be confusing being funny and on my part with being sarcastic. I'm very sarcastic.
You
it's
are
funny to me, but yeah. So that could there could be a fine line there.
Yeah, I don't use sarcasm as much as I should. Maybe
right. Do you remember after September 11th when all of a sudden all the late night shows just stopped production? You didn't get The Tonight Show and you didn't get Letterman. Those shows just stopped. You didn't get Saturday Night Live for a couple of weeks. So everybody was on such edge of, I don't know what's funny now after what right. just happened. And if it is ever funny again, I don't know. Is it funny in a day or a week or a month or a year?
It seemed like it would never be funny again.
It
right?
did. Yeah.
For a while, you're like, we're never going to. And, you know.
But then you had people addressing it. I think Letterman was the first one to come back, and then Saturday Night Live and The Tonight Show after. And then all of a sudden, even though the jokes weren't per se about what happened on 9/11, there were jokes that were kind of the result of what happened on 9/11.
And didn't you feel slightly guilty for laughing at it for a while? Because I did.
Yeah.
I felt like I haven't earned. I should still be in shock and in grieving. I should. I'm not ready to laugh yet. And then, you know, the terrorists have won, too.
Right. Exactly. Well, I think that's the key. How many times we heard that. Don't let them win.
Right.
Don't let them change your life.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And it's true. It is true. You have to get back to it. You have to.
How about this one? In the movie The Producers, there's a song, Springtime for Hitler, with dancing Hitlers on a stage singing the song Springtime for Hitler. So, my family's half Jewish. When that scene, they love the whole movie, start to finish. When that scene is on, they're crying laughing. They're laughing so hard they can't breathe. And when you stop and analyze it, go, you're laughing at something that's based on the Holocaust. Why could that possibly be funny? But somehow it is. You know, it shouldn't be, I guess.
Either of you see Book of Mormon?
No.
Because there's, I'm Catholic, and I took my older son, Michael, and there's a part that really goes against God pretty badly.
Yeah.
And it was funny, but we felt really bad. Like, we almost, like, covered our mouths, like,
sure.
We shouldn't be laughing, but then it's like we gave into it because it was funny.
Sure.
Are you talking about the Casadiga Ibawe?
Yes. I mean, but I felt like, I felt really guilty for laughing, but I didn't laugh at first. Again, I had to process it, and then it's like, I think it's okay if we laugh. God's probably laughing.
When we went to see Don Rickles a couple years ago in Milwaukee, I would say two-thirds of it, you felt guilty. You're like, I've been told by society that the last thing I want to do is laugh at what he just said, but I'm laughing at what he just said. And you don't, your brain is spinning around going, no, don't, what are you doing laughing at that? You know that's
everything
wrong.
Everything we've been taught right. is totally against that. And when I said I don't have any fun with the two teenagers and Jim, who's a teenager, because they're sarcastic and they're pranky, and that's why I guess I'm bothered by it now. So maybe I have stopped doing
are
it.
Are you the butt of a lot of their jokes?
Oh, yeah. I'm the only girl. Even the dog
See,
is a boy.
Hard. That would be hard. Yeah,
yeah, so I hate pranks and I hate sarcasm right now, but I used to have more fun. I am
well,
the butt
you
of all
the prankster.
Yes.
Yeah, that's why.
I am the butt.
Yeah.
It's not fun being the butt of the jokes at
all.
The
big butt.
Here's, should we take a break or should I ask you a couple more of these?
Whatever you want to do.
Let's do a couple more, then we'll take a break, and then we'll review your scores. When telling jokes or saying funny things, I am usually not very concerned about how other people are taking it. Do you strongly agree with that, strongly disagree, or somewhere in the middle? So you're telling jokes, you're saying funny things. Are you conscious of the fact that what you're saying could be bothering other people?
Yeah.
Yeah? So
I'm aware
agree?
Of it, yeah.
All right. 5 on that one. I often try to make people like or accept me more by saying something funny about my own weaknesses, my own blunders, or my own faults.
Again, I don't know. I mean, I do self-deprecating things,
sure.
but I don't do that all the time. I think...
Do you know this question is the basis for so many people who go into stand-up comedy? If somebody is overweight or underweight or way too tall or way too short or whatever.
Has small feet.
Or has small, I was just going to say.
Or hands.
Right. Well, they'll go into politics.
Yeah, right.
And not be funny at all.
Right.
But that's too easy to me. That's like too easy to go after, you know.
You would think, because it's just
too obvious.
I have
3 ears, so let's do, you know.
I'm the guy with 3 ears. Look at me.
Yeah. So I disagree with that.
Right.
Right? Am I saying it correctly?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, you would strongly disagree with that.
Yeah.
All right. I laugh and joke a lot with my friends. Boy, well, everybody does, don't they? Or most people do?
Strongly agree.
All right. If you're just joining us, this is a quiz, yes, developed by psychologists to determine what sort of sense of humor you have. My humorous outlook on life keeps me from getting overly upset or depressed about things.
I don't know.
I don't think this is you, but I do know people who, without their sense of humor, I don't know if they'd still be here.
I would put that in the middle, because sometimes on some things, again, like I get so frustrated and then I like look back at it and go, I step back from it rather than go, oh my God, that is so funny when you think about it.
Sure.
Even though it's not funny.
Right.
So I'm in the middle on that.
Somewhere in the middle? All right. I do not like it when people use humor as a way of criticizing or putting someone down.
I'd agree with that. Not 100%, but I think it's obvious and rude when you do that.
Right. You know what's interesting about that one is my daughters are polar opposites about that. Like Kylie is fully accepting of somebody who will do that. I know that makes her sound awful, but we all do. I mean, there's some element to that in almost all of us.
You and Terry are like a lethal combination with that.
Yeah.
You will, just some of the stories he's said with your kids growing up, didn't you tell one of your daughters it was customary to walk by somebody's table and take a french fry off their plate and they did it?
Yes.
That's mean to me at someone else's expense.
Do your daughters like you?
He and Terry are really...
is Terry like that too?
Oh God, Terry's worse.
Way worse. Than
when
me.
We went to see
Talk
Bill Cosby,
pranksters.
When I hate to bring up Bill Cosby again on the second part of today's show, but we were backstage and there was a Hello Friend sweatshirt that was hanging on a chair, and the chair was on the center of the stage, and it was just kind of set up waiting for Bill Cosby. We're behind the stage, and I'm there with my son Dylan, who was 10 or 11 at the time, and Terry
slightly impressionable,
very impressionable. And Terry, you know, kind of taps Dylan on the shoulder and bends down to his level and said, hey, Dylan, see that sweatshirt there on the chair? I think you should go grab it and bring it back to give to Mr. Cosby. And Dylan looked at me, thank God, like, what do you say? And I go, do not listen to that crazy woman. I couldn't believe
goodness.
She did that,
very
though.
Convincingly, too. She can convince anybody of doing anything.
But if he would have done that.
Right. Oh, alarms would have gone off. He'd be in jail.
But how
right
could
now.
She think that was funny?
Right. I mean, when you guys do that, is it really funny to you, or are you just like
they're mean?
Yeah,
they're a mean couple.
It is.
Wait till they're crotchety and old. They're really going to be bad.
Oh,
no one's going to be wanting near.
Right.
Be next to them
Bill
in the
will be
senior
like,
home.
I've fallen and I can't get up, and I'm like, yeah, right. Sure, you can.
But Kylie has inherited that same strain.
I know.
Whereas
Reese is the only
Reese,
nice
she's
one.
Like, well, you can't do that to people. What are you doing? You cannot
so
do
Reese
that to people.
Reese is the adult in the house.
Yep.
Right now.
Pretty much.
But it is something that, you know, your girls are used to, and that just shows they're different humans, because Kylie kind of wants to follow on in her parents' footsteps.
When we were in New York, Kylie is now looking for an apartment for next year's school year. So she's on a tour of an apartment with two of the people who will be her roommates next year. And the guy giving the tour, the real estate guy, goes, now, sadly, we can't allow pets in the apartment. And Kylie goes, that's too bad, because between the three of us, we have a dozen armadillos, and the armadillos would be living with us in the apartment. Is there some way we can just get around it? And the guy didn't know what to do, because, you know, he's used to hearing about cats and dogs, but armadillos rarely come up in New York City.
All right.
And I was so proud of her, but she said that she thought they lost the apartment based on that. That the guy was
I wouldn't have run
so
into
upset.
That little...
It's like,
would you?
Girl's got
see,
armadillos,
see?
But she doesn't have any armadillos.
There are repercussions for what you say.
But I
and do.
I love her more for just
you're
not
renting to her.
I'm not renting to her. No, but just the fact that she was gutsy enough to say it and not qualify it and go, no, I'm just kidding. We don't really have armadillos.
All right,
she went
well,
with it.
The guy, he was kind of dumb.
Come yeah, on. You would. Yeah,
I mean, she doesn't want to rent from him anyway.
Yeah, maybe for a second you go, oh yeah, okay,
right,
haha, and then he says you're not getting this apartment.
Right. Instead, we are renting to a family of armadillos just
exactly.
to teach you a lesson. All right, we must take a break. We'll find out what Wendy's did score wise next. Stay where you are. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
You really found the perfect woman. You know that
I did, didn't I? And she, Wendy, found the perfect man.
In your head,
I have your results. You've got 6 weeks to live, unfortunately, Wendy.
Oh,
hate
thank
to be
you,
the
doctor.
Bearer of bad tidings. It says here, based on your answers, we're trying to determine what type of sense of humor Wendy has based on a series of questions. You can take the test yourself. It's at MSN.com. It was developed by psychologists.
Unnamed psychologists.
Right. Psychologists that prefer that we not know who they are. It says here, Wendy, you have mostly an affiliative sense of humor. I've told
what
you that a bunch
that
of
mean?
Times. That what you think is funny works in Philly, but not here in Chicago. If you were in Philadelphia right now, you'd be the funniest person there.
I gotta move.
Everyone's sense of humor, it says, is a mix of all four styles of senses of humor, but yours leans mostly towards being affiliative, meaning you're good at cracking jokes. I worry about people who say I cracked a joke. You could tell a joke, you'd be a part of it, but cracking a joke doesn't seem right to me.
I'm no joke cracker.
Meaning that you're good at cracking jokes and trading banter. Do you want to trade banter?
I like trading banter.
And you do this to build connections with other people.
That's pretty accurate.
That's accurate.
Yeah, I wish you would have taken this, because it's funny as hell.
I'm not allowed to.
You'd break the whole survey, because really, you're the funniest guy and the quickest guy I ever have worked with.
Thank you very much.
I won't say ever that I knew, because I like Kevin Hart and Dan Cook better, but...
You do the best dolphin impression of anybody I've ever worked with.
Thank you.
We must stop doing the show.
Well, don't say it like that.
The show has
for today.
To a close. We will give you another show tomorrow. It will not be as good as this show.
I think it'll be better.
I don't see it. Maybe. Parts of it will be, but overall, I don't think it will be.
Yesterday's was better than today.
Yesterday was way better than today's. If you're listening to this podcast, go back and listen to yesterday's and tell us that we're wrong, because I don't think we are. That's it. Thanks, everybody. Nothing's coming next. Enjoy that, and then we'll see you in about 23 hours. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Billy.
Do the dolphin. That's funny.